Why don't you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Back in November 13th, I preached through this passage when we were working through 1 Peter. And I'm just going to review that very quickly, but I had another thought that was a burden on my mind. I never got an opportunity to share it. You know, how you do this preparation and you really feel led that, hey, I've got to talk about this. Never had the opportunity, ran out of time, frankly. And so I wanted to come back to it. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Just follow along as I read it. It said, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted, be courteous. Not returning evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I am reminded of how we're supposed to interact. Isn't that a sweet, sweet passage? Now, what I preached on was the next verses talking about how to find happiness in our lives, and it basically preaches itself. Verse 10, it says, for who would love life and see good days? And the answer to that is we all would want to love life and see good days, right? Anyone here want to see bad days? I mean, it just doesn't fit. And then he said, well, if you want to love life and see good life, then he says, let him, in other words, do these things. The first one is in the second part of verse 10. It says, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Okay, you know what the thought is? Think about what you say. You know, if you really want to be a blessing to others, think about what you say and how you say it. It really, really does matter. Okay? Then the next verse, verse 11, says, let him turn away from evil and do good. Well, not only should we think about what we say, we ought to think about what we do. You know, when you're here tonight, before you leave, you ought to be asking yourself, how could I be a blessing in someone else's life? Even tonight. If not tonight, tomorrow for sure. How can we do good? That should be right at the forefront of our goals in life. To be a blessing. Say nice things. Say encouraging things. And by the way, in some cases, say less things. You know, that's actually a proverb that speaks to that. Be careful. A lot of time in our multiple words, we get ourselves into quite a bit of trouble. And then the second half of 11 says, let him seek peace and pursue it. Now, when I think about that, let him seek peace and pursue it. You know what that is not saying? It's not talking about pursuing your own selfish objectives. It's pursuing peace and that being something that you earnestly desire. Now, the passage goes on, but what I was for devotional thought, you know, that's all we're trying to do on these Wednesday nights is just give a devotional thought. Peaceable living and unity. Several verses. If you're into writing a chain link in your Bible, next to these first couple, 8, 9, and 10, you know, that first part that we read and just talked to, it's such a beautiful testimony of how to be a blessing and how we ought to be a blessing. You might want to write these other verse references down. One of my favorite verses is Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as much as lieth in you or depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Whose responsibility is Christ calling us to exercise? Are we talking about getting them to do this? We're talking about if it is you, if it's in you to possible live peaceably, do it. Hebrews 12. The first one is Romans 12, 18. This is Hebrews 12, 14. Notice this. The author of Hebrews says, pursue peace. Now listen to the next words. Pursue peace. Now I think about this in our neighborhood. Our neighborhood can have some issues, okay? It can have some struggles. Pursue peace with all people. Now that's pretty broad. You know what it's really saying is that we are to be peacemakers. He goes on to say, and holiness, not only peace, but holiness, a set apartness that we're not going to live and respond and be like the world. We're going to be set apart like Christ would want us to be set apart, without which no one will see the Lord. Well, this is pretty powerful stuff. It's saying that this is an expectation for a believer. Psalms 133, verse 1. 133 verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know what's really, really important for us as a body? Is that we dwell together in unity. And you know what? How that really happens? Is when we all purpose, if it is possible, live peaceably with one another. To speak kindly to one another, to do kind acts for one another. And Ephesians chapter 4, first three verses says this, Ephesians chapter 4. This is, by the way, the start of the practical application of the doctrine of chapter 1, 2, and 3, which is all about the sovereignty and grace of God. It says, I, therefore, Paul is speaking, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Do you get the picture here? It's talking about us locking arms together and going forward in life. Unity, love, gentleness, support. And you know what? He is saying this fully recognizing. You know, he is speaking to a people that were coming from all types, all walks of life. And he said, forget your walks of life stuff. With the believers, you lock arms. You make sure that you do whatever you can to hold them up, to encourage them, to comfort them. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 through 26. It says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. In other words, we really need to be careful about this. Let's not fight over stupid stuff. That's what it's saying. Is there an opportunity? Oh. I'll tell you one that's really right at the forefront. Music. You think we can fight over some music? Yeah, I think we can. We gotta really be careful. But there are a lot of things. You know, it could be over the way someone dressed or something. You know, we need to be gracious people. Verse 24, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Again, wow, is that broad. To all. Able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God, perhaps, will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You understand the passage here? It was again talking about peacefully getting along, even when there was misunderstandings, And the prayer was, present your cause gently, but with conviction, and then count on the Lord to do a work. You see the difference? Rather than us pounding on someone? Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. What all these verses emphasize? Unity, brotherly love, our proper interaction. Now, I'm asking all of you to think about this a second. Would others who know you, would they consider you to be a peacemaker and one who strives for unity? Or are you known for divisiveness and saying things sharply or in such a way that it's offensive to others? All of us need to purpose to say, no, if that is yourself, you know, repent and commit your way to the Lord. Don't say, well, that's just my personality. Well, I'll tell you what, that's the flesh. And we've got to get beyond this. Because I just read a litany of verses, and the truth is I could have doubled or tripled or four times the verses and continued on that same theme. It is throughout the Word of God, His challenge for God's people. If you're not known for being a peacemaker and one who loves unity, if not, you got to ask yourself, why not? And if not, are you willing to acknowledge your own sinful part in that? It really, really, really is important for our testimony that we be known for our love. Now, there is nothing in here talking about compromising the word of truth, but there is in the 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse an exhortation on how we are to do that in love. Part of the reason why I wanted to share it with you tonight is because of the funeral tomorrow. As a reminder to myself, I was reading over these passages. Be gentle, be loving, but be totally committed to our Lord. And then you just kind of allow the things to fall where they fall and go where they're going to go. But they ought to, beyond anything, they ought to be able to see the love of Christ in us and the heart that wants unity, not division, especially in our fellowship. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you. I would ask that you would watch over all of us. Help us to make sure we purpose to be the men, the women that you want us to be in this very critical area. And we thank you, Father, that we have the liberty to go to you. And we ask you to watch over all of us in Jesus' name. Amen.